Want to be a part of the conversation? Then let us know on the TNT Radio Interactive Live chat room at tntradio.live. Lighting the fuse for freedom. Today's news talk, TNT Radio. Brian McLean is Hesher, and both are on today's news talk radio, TNT.
So, the interesting news analysis there by Patrick Henningsen, TNT host and 21stCenturyWire.com, senior editor and owner, founder right there. Interesting, France running out of weapons. So, sorry, Vladimir. Sorry, we can't send you any more death machines. That's what France is saying. And it's not just the country of France, the military of France, the people of France are starting to realize, nay, they have realized, hey, we're going to experience wartime austerity for a war between Ukraine and Russia. Is that really how we're going to roll? Is that what it means to be in NATO these days? You just give up all of your defense mechanisms, right? You cripple your military? Right, let me get this straight. So if I was a French citizen, my stolen money, they call that tax dollars here in the United States, my stolen money would be used to send to a corrupt country, Ukraine, with a dubious military, read Nazi military in many divisions of it, and we're also going to send away our national self-defense batteries, and then on top of that, we're not going to be able to afford to feed ourselves. There's going to be supply chain interruptions. There's going to be all this stuff, right? We're going to experience all this wartime economy and wartime austerity, so that the corrupt country of Ukraine can what? Be in an extended war with Russia and still lose, or push us into a NATO-involved larger conflict, aka World War III, perhaps. Yeah, so the French people, they're not really into that. They're not really into that, and many of them are protesting to actually leave NATO. Go figure. Go figure. There is a country with a large body of people that are willing to say, no, we don't want to do this, to the point where we don't even want to be in NATO anymore. That says a lot about what people, the general zeitgeist, when it comes to NATO. And that's going to be, that's going to grow. That's going to be a bigger thing. That's going to continue. People are going to, as people start to not be able to heat their houses and, you know, not be able to feed their families, they're going to start getting real, real skeptical about these shenanigans going on in Ukraine. I mean, I don't see how that could go any other way. Because what did Biden say recently? As long as it takes, we'll be there as long as it takes. We'll support Zelensky, Vladimir, as long as it takes. Well, how long does it take, Joe? How long does it take? How much weapon and money does it take to pour into there? Are we going to just crash the entirety of the first world to support Vladimir and these Azov-related battalions, right? So, you know, Kanye gets canceled and slammed and all this stuff, regardless of what you think of Kanye. I don't know. He said words. Kanye just simply said words. And it's just, I don't know. It's really strange. You know, it's like, as Syrian girl pointed out on her Twitter, remember, you're allowed to quote unquote like Hitler. If you're Ukrainian fighting Russia, you're allowed to support Nazis. If you're in Ukraine, you're allowed to support Israel, which are ethnical cleansing like Nazis, in Palestine. Yet Kanye West's statement is supposed to be shocking and horrifying. That's well stated by her right there, and an interesting thing to ponder. Absolutely. So there we are. But at TNT Radio, we never go home. We're committed to bringing you our take on the biggest topics of our time. We're online, broadcasting live 24/7, online, globally, no matter what. We got you covered on TNT.
Agreeing on the fundamental.
We can't trust any politician.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Yeah, that's right. That is right. Okay, so the Uvalde shooting spree earlier this year left many dead and tons of questions on how the police responded to this tragedy. Here to discuss is TNT news producer John Matlin.
Thanks for having me back, Hesher the Great. It's always a sad story talking about Uvalde, but here we go. The Uvalde shooting occurred 6 months ago. The shooter went into Robb Elementary School and took the lives of 19 school children and two teachers. The survivors of the shooting have now filed a $27 billion class action lawsuit. It was filed this past Tuesday in the U.S. District Court for the Western District of Texas. Named defendants on the suit, the State Department of Public Safety, the city, some school officials, and police. Bringing this lawsuit forward, parents, teachers, and staff. The claim that the protocols for an active shooter were not followed at all, that the training was disregarded and the shooter was not engaged immediately, as they are trained to do, leading to an increase in loss of life. The lawsuit states that it took law enforcement 77 minutes to perform their duty in neutralizing the shooter. Approximately 400 law enforcement officials were present and waited 70 minutes to breach the classroom where the shooter, Salvador Ramos, was held up. This summer, the Texas House of Representatives issued a report that stated, quote, shortcomings and failures, end quote, plagued the response by law enforcement. The suit calls for damages for survivors and includes the parents and the parents of children lost and those that witnessed the shooting. Other lawsuits have been filed in the months since against the police and the school district as well. This comes while shootings and guns are hot button topics of our time, and the attempt to ban, quote, assault rifles, end quote, and semi-automatic guns passed the House but looks likely to stall in the Senate. So what's your thoughts, Hesher?
It's really interesting, you know, the whole Uvalde thing. What an absolute disaster. What an absolute mess. It was such a mess. I almost have been wondering if it wasn't a mess on purpose, if this wasn't some sort of strange disruption. And, I have a hard time buying it, you know, because we haven't been shown any information that is useful. All we've seen is narrative and chopped up footage to support a narrative. And I think the whole story of Uvalde is completely ludicrous. Why did we never ever hear again from that woman that was being detained by the police when she wanted to go in there and retrieve her kids, and then was let loose and then went in there and did retrieve her kids? She disappeared from the media. And last I heard, she hadn't even been seen again. I don't know if that's still the case. I was never able to confirm, deny, or update that aspect of the story. But when you look at that, multi-agency response, over 400 officers there, somewhere between 300 and 400 officers from just about every law enforcement agency you could think of, federal and state, here in Texas, and not one person said, no, I'm kicking that door down. Where are all the door kickers? You know, there's former military people in there. There's people with kids in there. And we're to believe that they just couldn't figure it out, or that the officer in charge had, you know, the Uvalde police cop officer, I forget his name. It's been a minute since I looked at all these stories, but like that, you know, they did so much finger pointing and blame shifting and then never provided any information. And there was way too much propaganda associated with it. And it goes straight into litigation about gun control. But while we're just sitting here going, what the hell just happened? That doesn't make sense. None of this story makes sense. Well, that's okay. Don't worry about all those things that don't make sense. Don't worry about the bouncing ball of propaganda here that keeps shifting the narrative. That's normal. Don't worry about it, folks. We're just going to go ahead and see if we can't take the guns away. And Biden, with regards to Biden, him saying he's going to try to ban assault weapons. First of all, there's no such thing as an assault weapon. Anything can be used to assault someone. There's no difference between an AR-15 and a hunting rifle, or a BB gun, or a toothbrush that's been shaved into a prison shank. They're all
assault prison shank
items. That's an assault toothbrush. Yes.
It's an assault toothbrush. 100%. I mean, we can have this debate all the time. And the sick thing that we see is you had, like we said, about 400 people there that are armed, that are trained, and 70 minutes of inactivity. No matter where the ball was dropped, no matter how it was, there was nobody that just said, screw you guys, I'm going in, is crazy to me. The fact that they stopped parents to keep the scene in control, crazy to me. The way they tried to put out that they did nothing wrong and then more stuff came out, also crazy to me. And the politicizing every time something happens is it's obvious that the cause and the effect here, they relish in making this now we can go and grab the guns. It's always about grabbing the guns, and usually it's the narrative that they drive forward. The Q Club shooting, that narrative blew up in their face 10 times over. No one wanted to wait for any details, any motive, and then the guy ends up being not a guy. In theory, he's MX Aldrich, and he's a non-binary, they are a non-binary person. So the whole narrative blows up, and all of a sudden it's a crime within the own community, and boom, it just drops from the media. You don't hear anything about it. If MX Aldrich was Mr. Aldrich, and he identified as a neo-Nazi conservative, whatever you want to call it, I could assure you that the 40 minutes a night of each hour program would still be about him and Trump supporters and the ultra MAGA. And this is what fails to be recognized by the general public. And that's really sad. And there's people that go on that were on CNN. There was a trans man or trans woman. I don't remember what, but they said that person isn't trans because I can tell by looking at them. Yeah, you and me both.
Yeah, right. You know, and what this all comes down to, folks, is that some acts of violence fit the narrative that the mass media and the politicians want to push. Other acts of violence do not fit the narrative. And other acts of violence, I would argue, are completely stage managed, provocateured, or even faked in some cases. I'm not saying I know what happened here in this particular one, but I've seen enough red flags to know not to trust the mainstream narrative on this. And that's just the world we live in right now. You know, and to balance the whole gun violence thing out, there was a story Colion Noir was talking about on his YouTube that came out this week about a woman that was being attacked. And two of her neighbors or two of the people in her community heard this going down. They were both legal concealed carry holders, and they went in there and they protected her and they saved her. And they held her aggressor at gunpoint until the cops got there. So where are all the stories like that? You know, why is it I have to go to Colion Noir's YouTube channel to find stories like that when those things happen daily, those things that support the Second Amendment, that prove that the Second Amendment is something that we need, that prove that people protect each other and themselves, and women protect themselves from larger and stronger aggressors that they would not have a chance with without that equalizing factor, which we shouldn't even have to argue for because it's a freaking God-given right in this country.
Correct. And you could watch any news program and you always can wonder, like you're saying that, but what about how Chicago has the strictest gun laws and you only hear about the fact that there's so much shooting in liberal cities and Chicago on certain channels? It doesn't fit the narrative. And you want to talk about what would happen if there were no legal gun owners and what would happen with crime. Well, you don't ever want to talk about that because, well, it would just be an assumption. But if you look at liberal cities where there's stronger gun laws, all the gun violence and all of the crime is skyrocketing. And it's obviously correlated in that it's very easy to prove, but nobody seems to care because the news doesn't tell them to care. And it's the critical thinkers, it's listeners of TNT radio, it's people that have the ability to process actual real world data with their brains and not through TikTok. And they're like, well, hey, if I'm getting shot at by somebody who didn't follow the law, who's also breaking the law by shooting at me with that said illegal gun, I wish I can shoot back and protect myself legally. Oh, wait, I could. I chose not to. Why is this person doing that? Because that's what crime is and that's what criminals do.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, concealed carry is up. There are more people embracing their Second Amendment in this country than ever. It is skyrocketed since 2020 because people aren't completely dumb. They realize what's going on. They realize the system has shifted and it's all about chaos right now. It's all about changing the system and fundamental change to the system. The way that they're doing that, people are seeing it, whether it's intuitively or intellectually, they're seeing that this means I am no longer safe. Cops are being defunded. Criminals are being let out. Criminals know in many locations that they can do violent crime and be released without conviction. And that is emboldening them. And that causes people to want to embrace their Second Amendment because they do not want to be a victim.
Yeah. And I mean, it's tale as old as time. You ask everybody that is a legal gun carrying citizen, and if they used it to protect themselves, well, clearly they supported it beforehand and clearly it paid dividends afterward because they were able to survive. And these the positive stories, they should be highlighted. And we know that the fight against the never-ending narrative cultivating mass media cartel is not going anywhere anytime soon. So it's our job to use our voices and keep that reality alive because it will die and it will be snuffed out by people that don't want you to speak.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So folks, it's important. It's important. Your Second Amendment's really important. It's as important as your First Amendment. It's as important as all of them. So if you're a new gun owner, I know a lot of people, you know, they think, well, I'm going to go out and get a gun and consider myself protected. I'll just advocate, do my 2A thing for a minute here and say, get out and get trained. Make sure you shoot as much as possible, you know, and you know what you're doing because it's not just a matter of owning a thing and having that thing be your security blanket. You really got to get out there and practice with it. So let's all shoot for 10,000 rounds, practice rounds a year, everybody, and practice good safety. Make sure you get out there and get trained by qualified trainers. And carry always, carry every day, carry always safely. All right, John, thank you so much, man. Anything else you want to throw out there before we go to break?
Yeah, Saturday, tomorrow, 9 a.m. Hit my show up. That's all. Thanks. I'll see you next week, Asher.
All right. Absolutely. Check out John on his show here at TNT. It's great. You're going to want to be making sure that you're listening live or picking up those podcasts. That's John Matlin, everybody. All right. Be sure and have a conversation with us on that TNT Radio live interactive chat room. It's down there in the bottom right corner at TNTRadio.live. Your opinion matters on today's news talk.
TNT Radio's Jeremy Nell.
This is why I think they're bringing in so much of this AI stuff, is to try and get rid of these human decisions that are made, particularly in warfare.
Do you think a lot of that is by design or just by emergence or perhaps a combination of the two?
Well, okay, so the many of the policymakers and the financial people can't get ordinary people or corporations even to do what they want. I think that's really what it is. And so they have these various ambitions like intimidation and surrounding of China and North Korea, for example. And there's pushback within the military against this for very sensible reasons. To a certain extent, you know, it's just to do with self-preservation, saying, well, we don't want a war, with unwinnable war, thank you very much. I think at the back of all of this, if you really want to peel away the layers of the onion, right in the core of it is this whole idea of game theory. And what's happened over the decades, certainly the decades since the Second World War, is that much of the geostrategic thinking has been about playing it as a game. And if it's a game, then you can tweak things and potentially you can win the game.
Jeremy Nell on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Google and Facebook, they don't sell you anything. they sell you.
Facebook constantly manipulates their users. They do it by the things that they insert into the news feeds, and they do it by the types of posts they allow their users to see.
It's what Google and Facebook are doing on a regular basis, by suppressing stories, by steering us towards other stories rather than the stories we're actually seeking. That's the real manipulation that's going on.
I was a design ethicist at Google, where I studied how do you ethically steer people's thoughts.
It will always favor one online music service over another and one candidate over another.
Google and Facebook has the power to undermine democracy without us knowing that democracy has been undermined.
There's what I call the creepy line, and the Google policy about a lot of these things is to get right up to the creepy line but not cross it.
Google crosses the creepy line every day.
Discover how society is manipulated by Google and Facebook. The creepy line at salemnow.com.
Big pharma corruption, medical corruption, government corruption, political corruption, climate change corruption. The threats to your happiness are many, but that's where we can help. Today's News Talk, TNT Radio. Our truth shall keep you free.
All right, welcome back. Now, normally, this is the part where I start reading a bio and telling you who's sitting here in the green room waiting for me, but let me do this real quick first. I've been, unfortunately, you know, by no joy of mine, I have inadvertently started a new segment on the show this week. I thought it was just going to be something I would say on Monday. I thought it was something on Tuesday. Oh, wow, look, it happened again. And then on Wednesday. And then yesterday. So now it's a segment. I thought about calling the segment Suddenly Died, because you can't say Suddenly Died in the mainstream media anymore now that there is a film called Died Suddenly, right? You can't say Died Suddenly because there's a film called Died Suddenly. So now we have to come up with all these new ways to say unknown causes, these kind of things for sudden adult death syndrome. But here we go. Here we go. Here's today's segment of someone who expired spontaneously. Brad William Hank, Orange is the New Black actor and former football pro, dead at 56. Dead at 56. What happened? Died peacefully in his sleep. Really? All right, 56-year-old dies peacefully in his sleep. Looked like a fairly healthy 56-year-old to me. So there is, oh wait, no, it's a double. It's a double banger today. David Robinson, Dog the Bounty Hunter's, one of his right-hand men. Guess what? 50 years old. Dog says, I'm shocked and saddened by the sudden passing of my right-hand man for many years, David Robinson, until we meet again. Well, all these people dying suddenly at young ages. And I don't know what to say about it, folks. They don't ever want to talk to you about their vax status. That's the one thing. So you have to, these things happen, and you got to go into their social media and see if they've virtue signaled their vax status. And then, you know, you can make up your own mind from there. I'm joined by Edward Dowd, and he's here to talk about his new book, Cause Unknown, The Epidemic of Sudden Deaths in 2021 and 2022. Ed, can I call you Ed? Welcome to the show.
Absolutely. You can call me Ed. Thanks for having me on today.
I'm very pleased to have you here. Now, I'm going to let you introduce yourself and talk about your background a little bit and how you ended up writing this book. So go ahead and introduce yourself.
Sure, I'll
let everybody know the story here.
Absolutely. Real quick, I'll be brief. I'm a Wall Street careerist. Started my career out of college at HSBC, Hong Kong Shanghai Bank, where I learned credit markets, interest rate markets, currency markets, how the system works. Went on to business school at Indiana University, graduated, went to the equity side of the business, and worked at a equity research shop called Donaldson, Lufkin, Jenrett, which was an investment bank back in the day. That's where I discovered the dot-com fraud. I was an electric utility analyst, but down the hall were the internet folks, and they were basically pumping out initial public offerings of companies with no revenues and no cash flow. And that was a scandal, as we all know, led to corporate fraud in the dot-com boom. I went up to Boston to join an asset management firm as a tech analyst for Independence Investments, a $30 billion firm. And I saw the dot-com boom crash coming. I parlayed that reputation into a portfolio management job at BlackRock in 2002, where I spent the next 10 years building our large cap growth equity product from $2 billion to $14 billion. And we also saw the housing crisis coming, and we steered our ship through there as best we could and gained a lot of market share after the housing crisis. Left BlackRock in 2012, moved to Hawaii, started a bunch of different entrepreneurial things. Currently, I am starting a hedge fund with Finance Technologies, PHI, and we're also investigating the all-cause mortality situation that's going on across the globe. I became interested in this issue really early on in 2020 when I saw that COVID was potentially being used as an excuse to print money and spend money, cover up the global sovereign debt collapse. And then when the vaccines were introduced, I was very suspicious because, as we all know, this thing was basically a experimental biological genetic vaccine that had never been tested on humans. The trials were 28 days. Most vaccines, I know from my experience in healthcare analysis, because you know we picked healthcare stocks as well, that it takes 7 to 10 years for a vaccine to be properly vetted. We did it in 28 days. And I was very suspicious. And then in early 2021, I started hearing anecdotes like you just mentioned. They're actually more fast and furious now. They started off slowly. I was suspicious. Then when the mandates came out, that's when I put my foot down and started to speak out. And through the grace of God, I was hooked up with Dr. Malone, who elevated my message. And now I'm basically known as the all-cause mortality guy. I was approached this summer to write a book by some people who thought that my message needed to get out there. So the book that we just came out with, it's hard copy December 13th. It's available on ebook right now on Amazon. It basically outlines sudden athletic elite deaths, which used to, for the last 30 years, used to average about 29 a year globally. We're lucky if we get a month below 90 now since 2021. And in my book, we just have a sampling of these kinds of deaths, and there's about 570 in the meat of the book, and then in the back compendium of the book. So this is what I'm calling a national security issue at this point, because it appears to me that those who are employed were forced to take this mass injection, and mandates really made that happen, and we're seeing excess mortality in the U.S. Being higher for those employed, and disability being higher for those employed versus the general population. And as you know, that the people who are working tend to be the healthiest amongst us because they can show up to work. So that relationship is flipped, and it's an abject disaster. We can get into the numbers a little bit if you want to, but here we are. It's 2022. The vaccination program is continuing in the U.S. and other countries have started stopping their vaccination program, like Denmark, and I can get into that a little bit, but there's the introduction of my bio and why I'm here today.
Okay, excellent, excellent. I appreciate that. That's concise, and it's exactly what I wanted to get to. Let me take a quick headline here with TNT, and we'll come back. We'll pick it right up after a short headline. This is today's News Talk, everybody.
TNT Radio News. Bring the news.
This is James O'Neill with a check of today's headlines. Greece's health minister announced that thousands of health workers who declined to get vaccinated against COVID-19 and were suspended without pay will return to their roles. There will not be a railroad strike that many feared could cripple the U.S. economy as the Senate joined the House in approving legislation forcing unions that rejected a tentative contract to accept it. President Biden said he'd be willing to meet with Russian President Vladimir Putin if he was willing to end the war.
Free speech is in our DNA.
Experimental vaccines will never change that.
Listen to TNT Radio anywhere you go. Yeah, even there. Never miss out on the news and views of the big issues of the day. Ask Alexa or Google to play TNT Radio.
Or download the TNT Radio app for free.
From the App Store or Google Play. Today's News Talk. This is TNT Radio.
Welcome back, everybody. My guest is Ed Dowd. His new book is called Cause Unknown, The Epidemic of Sudden Deaths in 2021 and 2022, It's available right now in e-format at Amazon, and the hardback will be out on December 13. And we're talking about his experience, how he came from a financial background and landed in this position here. And it's very interesting to see that, especially the way that you noted financially, the way that the mRNA gene therapy shot that they've redefined as a vaccine was only tested for like 28 days or something like that. When you're sitting there and you know these trends because you've invested in these areas before or worked with investments in these areas, and you say, wait a minute, that's a big red flag. And then here we are, you know, we had 2020 with the COVID experience, 2021 with the vax experience, and 2022 where we're just kind of dealing with the fallout of all of that while they bombard us with, you know, Ukraine, Russia, and all the midterm elections, all these other things. So there's a lot of smoke and mirrors and a lot of hashtag crises and hashtag current things. But what's happening in the wake of the mass injections, the mandates, the coerced compliance, the due rest that they put people under to keep their jobs or keep their kids in school, is arguably the biggest story in human history, I think. So your book sounds like a very important piece of this. So go ahead and pick up from there.
Yeah, I agree with you. This is something, we're not going to talk about this for the next 10 years. This will be talked about for the next 100 years. This is the biggest disaster of my lifetime. I call it the great fraud. And I'm just stunned that it's, November of 2022. And here we are, and we're still injecting people saying safe and effective. Well, you know, what do we know now? We know it's not effective at all. It doesn't actually stop you from getting COVID, nor does it prevent transmission. So if you're out there and you're in the what I call the cult of the COVIDians, why would you take a product that doesn't work? That's number one. Number two, it's overwhelming. There's overwhelming evidence now that it's not only not safe, it's actually the most dangerous vaccine we've ever seen in the history of the planet. And the numbers bear this out. And I just want to make a little preview here about, I'm going to see Senator Johnson next week in Washington, D.C. I'm going to tell him that basically there's a national security issue in the U.S. and the numbers suggest that. And let me just give you the numbers. This is going to not take that much time. It's very simple. There is a group life policyholder segment of our population. They generally reside, this is an insurance company industry, they generally reside in corporate America, Fortune 500 and medium-sized companies. These people, when they sign on, get what's a group life policy when they onboard the first day. And it's basically 1 to 2 extra salary, and you get it when you die, only while you're employed. Well, this group normally has a mortality rate of 1/3 that of the general U.S. population in any given year. In 2020, that relationship still held up. They experienced less excess mortality from COVID than the general population. You roll into 2021, that flipped. Ages 25 through 64 in this subset of the population experienced 40% excess mortality in 2021. The general U.S. population experienced 32%. So what we know is that this group life policyholder subsegment is much healthier on average than the general population. So that flipped for the first time ever in the history of the industry. Then second, separate database, the U.S. Department of Labor Statistics, disabilities went off the charts and took off in May of 2021. There had been running on absolute numbers, 29 to 30 million in the U.S. And this, you got to remember, this is a survey that's real time. It's not tied to disability claims or doctor's notes. These are people self-identifying as disabled. That number's gone from around 30 million to 33 million since May of 21. And it continues to kind of go, if you're looking at it like a stock chart, it broke out from a base and it's up and to the right now. Bottom line is this, when we dig into the numbers, the employed population, meaning the 98 million people in America that work, they experienced a 26% increase in their disability rate. The general U.S. population, much less healthier than the people who are actually showing up for work, only experienced an 11% increase in their disability rate. So basically, it's been detrimental to your health to be employed in 2021 and 2022. This obviously has national security issues because we basically potentially poisoned our college students, all the people employed, or most of the people employed that work for larger corporations, our military and our first responders. So that's what I'm going to say to Senator Johnson when I get there next week.
That's the right message. I believe that that is the right message, because the numbers that you're talking about here are not surprising to me. They're absolutely not surprising to me, because, you know, I was one of those people that was on air almost daily throughout 2020, warning people as soon as they uttered the word mRNA, don't do this, don't do this. This is not a vaccine. This is a gene therapy. We don't know what it is. And then in 2021, on air almost daily, saying, you can't do this. You cannot do vax passes. This all leads to all kinds of technocratic authoritarianism and dangerous decline in health and decline in the capability of the country. It's going to lead to who knows what. And here we are now, you know, they're saber rattling World War III. They're saber rattling the end of fiat currency and a move into central banking digital currency, track and trace, all these things. They're all tied together. And I don't think any of that stuff would happen without our primary workers taking a hit. Those people that you just mentioned, our colleges, our college students, our large corporations, our military, our sporting industries. I mean, that was another huge harbinger of all this for me, Ed, was when I saw them using apex athletes to push this stuff. I mean, many of these apex athletes were out there advocating for this staunchly, and we discovered many of them on payrolls. That goes the same for on social media influencers being paid grants and funding being given to pay these people to push for the jabs. And now many of those same people have died, have quite literally just experienced sudden adult death syndrome, which, by the way, wasn't even a term until 2021 came along. And so it's just amazing to watch our industries and our military and everything, are those things that you thought were pillars and sacred cows inside of, you know, our zeitgeist here in America and in all of the West, just used in that way. And now essentially what we're learning is that, yes, they were used in that way, and they don't even care if they're tossed away. They were used in that way, and many of them have now died suddenly. I mean, it's really, I've never seen anything like this before. I don't know. You know, all the years of human tragedy and innovation, it just blows me away that this is where we're at with this. We're going to mRNA people up. We're going to stand by and watch tens of thousands of them pass away unexpectedly. We're going to destroy our education system. We're going to destroy our finances. And we're going to say that it was safe and it was effective and it was necessary. I mean, it's just disgusting.
I totally wholeheartedly agree. And you mentioned something about the influencers and the athletes and these people being paid. This was the biggest propaganda campaign that we've ever seen in the history of the world. It was global. It was coordinated. And, it was, I was absolutely amazed, because I thought that in the early days of the vaccine, people would think like me, well, I'm not taking anything experimental. But what I didn't realize is that they were going to basically not even highlight that it was experimental. Most people didn't even know it was. They thought it was a traditional vaccine. Here in Maui, in the early days of the vaccine, it was still under EUA and it was authorized under EUA. They were saying on radio ads here, go get your vaccine. It's approved by the FDA. I mean, the misinformation, the propaganda, the government money, we've now found out about $1 billion from the Biden administration went to the mainstream media to promote the vaccine and squash counter narratives. There is literally so many people involved in this, either wittingly or unwittingly, that have to be held to account. And unfortunately, as you know, we're getting close to the zeitgeist here, the moment of awakening. My goal the last several months is to change someone's mind, the marginal mind, and I feel like it's going to start accelerating, because at this point, it's becoming undeniable. But you know how this works. Unfortunately, the people who took the vaccine for egoic reasons or to virtue signal are going to, you know, not admit they made a mistake and still deny this. But the people who were duped into it, who didn't have religion about this, are starting to wake up, and at the very least aren't getting boosters. So we're close to some tipping point of awareness. This is what I call the greatest asymmetric information gap in my career in finance. Smart money figures something out the rest of the money doesn't see. And, you know, if you're smart money in this issue, you didn't get vaxxed in the first place. If you did, I want you to join the smart money and stop getting boosters and look at protocols to maybe heal some of the damage. Dumb money are going to be the people who continue to call people like me conspiracy theorists, what have you. I will say Wall Street's starting to have interest in what I'm saying. It's dawning over there where everyone got jabbed that something may have gone off the rails, but it's still slow. It's not going fast enough for my liking.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, they're just rubbing it in everybody's faces right now. I mean, Bill Clinton just had COVID for the umpteenth time and still rolls out that same excuse, which we keep seeing from people like him. I had it, but it would have been so much worse. It's like, what are you talking about, man? What are you talking about? How do you know it would have been so much worse? I mean, it's just becoming the most tired, stupid talking point for these people that get jabbed, triple boosted, and then get COVID over and over and over again. And it's led to something that I've noticed lately, which I find absolutely thrilling, is that the foot soldiers, the people, I'm trying to not be too mean or pejorative here, but I don't know how else to say this. The non-player characters, the people that just have the mainstream media like hooked into their third eye, like it's a beer bong, and just pour CNN into that thing 24/7. They were very, very happy throughout 2020, late 2020 and 2021, even early 2022, to shame people online, to tell people they can't come to their house if they're not vaxxed and boosted, like all that stuff. I've got a collage of clips on my soundboard I could bring up of people shaming everybody in their lives for not taking the experimental gene shot. Those people have all gotten real quiet this season now that, you know, Died Suddenly has come out, and they all, I think even more important than anything like that, because those are easy, something like that comes out kind of like Plandemic did, is easy for people to say, oh, that's conspiracy stuff, I'm not paying attention to that, the media tells me these are disinformation people. But now there's this tacit, tangible, vivid reality that they're all experiencing, where they're jabbed and boosted, so many of the people they know are jabbed and boosted, and almost all of them have tested positive for COVID 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 times and have had bad illnesses. And it's getting really difficult for them to not look around and see all these athletes dying, all these reports of clots, myocarditis. And then some of them, you know, I'm very sorry to say, have experienced loss themselves, loss of a loved one or something like that. So the cognitive dissonance is definitely starting to break up a little bit. Let me take a station break here, and I'll take your comments on that trend on the other side. This is today's news talk.
United Nations climate activists and delegates at the summit in Egypt chow down on gourmet meat while telling the rest of us to eat bugs.
From Washington, D.C., this is the Morano Minute with your host, TNT Radio's Mark Morano.
According to a report in the UK Daily Mail, officials and delegates at the United Nations Climate Summit were able to dine on an array of pricey meat and fish dishes served up during the conference. Angus beef medallion with sautéed potatoes, creamy salmon. The pricey menu did not go unnoticed by animal rights activists. The Animal Rebellion replied that this was a slap in the face. These world leaders need to look like they believe the rules. And Animal Rebellion added, quote, "This just looks like do what I say and not what I do." So the next time the United Nations or the World Health Organization is telling you to eat the bugs, just remind them that hypocrisy is live and well at United Nations climate summits. This is Mark Morano for the Morano Minute on TNT Radio.
A bushfire tip from the New South Wales Rural Fire Service.
It's a fact that cars are a significant cause of bushfire. Parking in long dry grass means hot exhaust and hot brakes may start a fire. When travelling in bushland areas, remember to park in designated car parks. or away from dry vegetation. And whatever you do, don't throw cigarette butts out the car window. Prevention of bushfires is your responsibility. Get FireWise. For more information, contact your local fire station.
The vaccine campaign will be known as the biggest crime ever committed on humanity. Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
There you go. Perfect, perfect intro right there. Folks, I'm with Ed Dowd. His book is called Cause Unknown, The Epidemic of Sudden Death. So if you're out there and you realize that, hey, there's this new film that came out, this Died Suddenly film, and I don't really want to watch it. I don't want to look at the blood clots. I don't want to see morticians pulling stuff out of people. If that's a little too graphic for you, read a book. Read this book, because this is going to give you a lot more context, a lot more numbers. There's a financial aspect to it in which Ed is a subject matter expert. So, Ed, we've got about 9-10 minutes left. I'll kind of leave it to you to take us home here. Tell us all what's, you know, most important moving forward, or anything we may have missed about the lead up to where we are right now. Like, obviously you're taking action. You're going to go talk to a senator, and you're living in Hawaii, right? You still in Maui right now?
Correct.
I had a virologist named Dr. Jennifer Smith on my show this week, who was there in Hawaii. Maybe you know her, I'm not sure, but she told our audience and myself about the Hawaiian response. And it was something that the rest of the United States didn't really get all the details on. I don't think the mainstream media reported on just how, like, Hawaii had some of the craziest lockdown protocols of all. After speaking with Jennifer, I learned some things that just blew my mind about how draconian Hawaii was about these things. So maybe you could weave a little bit of that in there too. I'm interested to hear your take on how it was to be in Hawaii during all this.
Absolutely. So I want to go back to what you said about, you called a lot of these people NPCs, non-player characters. I use the term the unbegotten. They're not conscious. They're not born. They're just kind of floating through life, absorbing information without actually thinking about it or looking internally and saying, does this feel right? So a lot of these people, in my opinion, are lost, and they have a lot of ego. And a lot of these folks who took this and shamed us, it's going to take a while for them to come around. The good news is it's not the majority of the people. It was a minority, but enough of them, that, and they're loud, and they are going to have to go through the four stages of grief: denial, which is what they're in; anger, depression, then acceptance. So my book is designed for not the echo chamber that knows everything that we know, although there's lots of good stuff in my book. It's designed to convince the marginal mind, you know, the family member who doesn't see the reality that you and I see and most people see. So make a good Christmas gift to someone like that. But it's for someone to look at the numbers. I have a thesis, obviously, that the vaccine's doing this, but I don't get into the who or why. I just say it is, it's true, it's real, it's happening. And I propose what I think it is, which I'm pretty much at 100% conviction it's the vaccines. But I invite people to ask themselves, now that they know that this is real and occurring, what could possibly be going on? And why on God's green earth are the health authorities and the global government so silent on this excess mortality and disability that is nowhere near the COVID levels? Why are they so silent? If you remember correctly, in 2020, they were so gleeful to count all the bodies that were hitting the floor in 2020 and all the cases. Now, nary a peep about what's going on. So I propose at the end of the book a conclusion, and the conclusion is, let's put the who and why aside for now. But it's true, it's happening. The health authorities and the global government see what I see, but they're silent. So at this point, I can claim definitively it's a cover-up, a crime, negligence, malfeasance at this point. That's it. So we don't need to assault someone's worldview. We don't need to get into, like, you know, why this happened. That'll all come up. I have theories like you do, and we all do, about what went down and why. But that doesn't matter, because it just is now. And we live in a world where, 60% of the U.S., 65, the exact number is a little mysterious, was injected with an experimental gene product. And the ramifications of that are unknown. And unfortunately, I would expect if it was just something that would affect you right after the vaccine and there was a bad reaction, we'd be seeing excess mortality coming down. Unfortunately, it's not coming down. It's at a sustainable level overall, 15 to 20% for the U.S. For those who are employed, it continues to be bad. I have a whistleblower in the insurance industry who told me that the Society of Actuaries, who reported the 40% number last year in August, are looking, you know, the real numbers in August of this year are still running at 36% for millennials. So the employed amongst us seem to have a problem. And I'm starting to worry that there are medium and long-term effects from this vaccine. And the disability numbers were reported today were still above, 33 million. And it doesn't doesn't look like the trend is going the right way at all. So this is, again, a national security issue. I have big problems with the fact that the mainstream media is silent and so many people are silent and are clueless. So this book is designed to kind of wake people up. And it's not, I wrote this as much as I would a sell-side research report with a little bit of storytelling. And the data is the data. There's QR codes everywhere. So you can check all my sources and, verify that what I'm saying is true. We meticulously went through the book to make sure that everything was well-sourced. And there are 570 examples of sudden deaths in our book. And they're all well-sourced. There's stories attached to them. So, I'm here to say it's real, it's happened, and what are we going to do about it? I can tell you what we're doing about it at Finance Technologies, the two guys who helped me with the Humanity Project, where a lot of the data from my book came from. We're raising capital to reflect a strategy that's going to pick up this tragedy. And there's a lot of interest from what we call smart money. So, if you are on the sidelines and you don't believe me, you have to ask yourself the question, why is money flowing to me to get invested in our hedge fund, to take advantage of the reality that we see, not the perception, which is about 90% of the globe thinks everything's hunky-dory and okay. It isn't. It's tragic. It's going to get worse. It has implications for the economy for years to come. There's an issue with labor because of the disabilities and the deaths. And we have help wanted signs everywhere. It's not due to the great resignation. That's nonsense. It's not due to, global warming. It's not due to any of these, it's not due to SADs. It's due to a mass injection program. And we just don't know how bad this is going to get, but it's going to affect some supply chains. Services we used to take for granted are going to start to slowly become harder and harder to get. There's going to be unstocked shelves. As more people die or become disabled, they become economically unfunctionable. That's going to have growth implications, and it's going to just cause slow growth in our economies globally for years to come. So this is tragic, and we're going to be talking about this for the next 100 years.
Yeah, this isn't going to go away. People like you and I are not going to let it go. We're not going to sit by and let them softball pitch us various, reasons for, this excess mortality that we're seeing. And, I predict that it's just going to continue to get worse because we aren't even 2 years into what the genetically modified human organism looks like. And we're already seeing just this rise in mortality and a decline in our military readiness, a decline in our economy, a decline in our workspace and employment. And the people that are working out there these days, I'm seeing a drastic decline in services, in hospitality, in restaurants. The standard by which employment used to function at seems to have dropped a lot. And I think that may have something to do with this too. We've got about a minute left. So, but maybe you could tell me, I'll let you have the final words here. And it's a hard break at the top of the hour, just so you know. But I think it's very interesting that you're sort of looking, one of the lenses through which you're looking at this at is that of insurance companies, because that's one swim lane of this where it's like, they operate on raw numbers and facts and statistics. And I'm just curious, when you look at it through the lens of an insurance company or an investor, Does that give you a completely different view of the landscape?
So the insurance companies, whether they know it or not, are all wrong in their assumptions of excess mortality. They've all been predicting as of Q1, Q2 of this year, because I listened to some of the calls, that excess mortality would trend back towards normal as we move through the end of the pandemic. Those assumptions were dead wrong. Lincoln Financial came out recently and their stock went down 30% and they had to raise capital. That's due to basically not getting the fact that the vaccines are doing what they're doing and their excess mortality assumptions are just wrong. So there's big issues in the insurance industry. The good news is we've contacted some executives, but you know, they're scared, they're jabbed up. There's still a lot of denial going on, but slowly but surely the worm's turning. And if this industry can wake up, they'll sue the hell out of the large pharma and the government, I think, because they're the bag holders in all this, truly.
All right. Well, that's something I've been eagerly awaiting to see. That's a piece of the unfolding story that I've been eager to see. So I hope that that continues to happen. I really appreciate you taking the time and joining me. Let's do this again sometime. I'd like to talk to you again after the book comes out. That's Ed Dowd, everybody.